And welcome to Albion Narrations. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Today's narration will be Victoria, Queen of Anglo-Israel, written by Nellie Deans Taylor. And it looks like this was published in 1903. The author has adopted the style of Old English used in the King James Version of the Bible, with due reverence, to show the apparent unity of the history of Israel and Anglo-Israel. This writing is not intended to be of a controversial nature. A number of traditions and authentic facts, with the strange coincidences noted, have been thrown together into a prose epic, which it is hoped will be acceptable for its literary merit and as suggesting a solution of the marvellous dominion of the Anglo-Saxon race in all parts of the earth. Now it came to pass, after Israel was carried away from the land of their fathers in captivity and punishment for their idolatries and sins against the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, that the Lord scattered them among the nations of the earth, as fine as wheat, as the prophets had spoken, yet was none lost, save to the histories and knowledge of men. But the tribe of Judah remained yet at Jerusalem, according to the promise of the Lord unto Solomon, while the lost tribes of Israel wandered to and fro among the nations, persecuted but not forsaken, till many forgot the land of their fathers and were forgotten of them. And as they sought out a new land where the soles of their feet might find rest from the sins and oppressions of the nations, a remnant gathered themselves into the islands of the uttermost parts of the west, now called the islands of Britain, and they dwelt among the people, and became of one blood with them, and sought to be brave and true of heart. So the Lord remembered his people, though they knew him not, and his promise to the children of Jacob, that he would turn when they turned unto righteousness, and that verily no weapon formed against them should prosper. So that when Julius, surnamed Caesar, overran all the earth, he subdued not Britain, for the sake of the remnant that was therein. Yet Caesar made him strongholds there for a time. And the tribe of Judah, which was left as a remnant at Jerusalem in Judea, abode there for 120 years after the lost tribes of Israel were carried away. But in the reign of Zedekiah, the last of the kings of Judah, he and all but the lowest sort of his people were carried captive unto Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, slew all the sons of Zedekiah before his face, and put out his eyes, lest, seeing other sights, he should forget that dreadful moment. But Jeremiah the prophet took the king's daughter Circa, a little maiden of tender years, and fled with her into Egypt, to Tapanes, the palace of Jeremiah, which is known to wise men unto this day. The palace and its mural inscriptions were discovered in Egypt by Dr. Petrie the archaeologist in 1886. And he dwelt there in peace, for a remnant of the people fled also into Egypt. Now Jeremiah the prophet was the father of Hamutal, the wife of Josiah, and the mother of Zedekiah, kings of Judah, so that the royal maiden Circa was the great-grandchild of Jeremiah the prophet. And the prophet knew that Heremon, a prince of Israel, dwelt in the uttermost parts of the west, now called Ireland, and that his people called him Tuatha de Danann, which in the Celtic tongue is Prince of the Tribe of Dan. And Jeremiah the prophet took the royal maiden Circa and the coronation stone, which he had taken in his flight from the temple at Jerusalem, and he set forth across the seas until he came to the land of Heremon, which is Ireland, as it is known at this day. Now the coronation stone, known of many as the Dominion Stone, is the pillow whereon Jacob slept when he saw the vision of the angels of God ascending and descending the ladder of heaven. And Jacob called the place Bethel, the house of God. And he set up the stone for a pillar, and poured oil upon it, and consecrated it to be an altar unto the God of Jacob, who surnamed him Israel, a prince of God, and blessed him and his seed forever. And all the kings of Judah, from Saul and David, even unto Zedekiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar carried captive unto Babylon, were crowned beside the coronation stone, which they kept in the temple at Jerusalem, from the days of Solomon till Jeremiah fled into Egypt with the stone, and the maiden of the royal line of David. And it came to pass, when Heremon, prince of the tribe of Dan, beheld Zerkah, that his soul longed for the maiden, for she was very fair, and Sarah and Rachel and Rebekah were also fair to look upon. And Heremon besought the prophet to give him the maiden to be his wife. Then Jeremiah opened all his heart unto Heremon, and told him that Zerkah, his great-grandchild, was of the seed royal of Judah, a princess of the line of David. And at Tara he gave him the maiden in marriage, and blessed them and crowned them besides the coronation stone, and left it to be a sign unto them and to their children, a witness to God's covenant with Israel their father. And Heremon and his people called it Leophael, the stone wonderful, for it was the sole witness of Jehovah's promise unto Jacob, "Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. A nation and a company of nations shall come out of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. I will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, the land of Canaan." And the Irish people of old called their altars Bethels, as is known of the wise to this day. And in the fullness of time, Paul the Apostle travelled to the uttermost parts of the West and founded the early British Church. And the people knew thus the God of their fathers as Emmanuel, or God with us. What need to tell of the gathering of the scattered and lost tribes, the Angles, the Jutes, the Saxons, and others, into the islands of Britain, and of their wars, and of their mighty acts? For these wars are written in the chronicles of all nations, and are known of all men. And it came to pass that Fergus the First carried the Leophael, the coronation stone, from Ireland into Scotland, and placed it in the seat of his coronation chair, in the royal stronghold at Scone. For it was precious to him, and to all the Scottish kings of the line royal of Heremon and Zerkah. But in the year 1299, Edward the First of England made war upon Scotland and carried away the royal treasures and the coronation chair from Scone to London, his chief city, and he placed it at Westminster Abbey. And from that time all the kings and queens of England have sat upon the coronation chair when crowned, even unto this day. Thus, when James, the King of Scotland, came to Westminster Abbey to be crowned King of England, he sat upon the seat of his fathers, upon the coronation stone, the Leophael, the Bethel, the pillow whereupon Jacob slept. Now James loved the word of God, and he was learned and very wise, and thought much on all these things. And he placed the Scottish lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, on the shield of Anglo-Israel, even as it is unto this day. And he called together his wise men, and he bade them seek out the word of God from all strange tongues, and he caused it to be written in the tongue of the common people, that all the people might know the Lord and his word, which giveth wisdom unto the simple. And the word of God, this English Bible, is known of men as the King James Version, even unto this day. And the people waxed strong and multiplied, and honoured the Lord, his word, and his Sabbaths. For the Lord had aforetime delivered them from the invincible Spanish armada, and had scattered their enemies from the coasts of Anglo-Israel with a mighty storm wind. And the people increased yet more and more, till the bounds of the islands were too narrow for them, and they spread abroad over the seas, and the islands thereof, to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south, even according to the promise of the God of Israel at Bethel. And they carried with them the standards of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and to the uttermost bounds of the earth. And through the people of Anglo-Israel have the ends of the earth been blessed with freedom and law and with the love of God and of his Sabbaths and of the open Bible. For by the mouth of the psalmist the Lord hath proclaimed, Judah is my lawgiver. Now when James was long dead, there were wars and rumours of wars, more than can here be told. But after many days there was peace among all the nations, and tribes of Anglo-Israel of the islands, and of Anglo-Israel beyond the sea, which is the United States of America, a people made up of a company of nations, from a family of 13 colonies, even as the sons of Jacob, with the half-tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, were 13 in number. And in those days Victoria was queen of Anglo-Israel of the islands, and these be the generations of Victoria. For she is of the seed of James of Scotland, of the line of Fergus, of the line of Heremon and Circa, the daughter of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and of his wife Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah the prophet. Now Josiah was of the seed royal of David, the son of Jesse, who was of the seed of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, the friend of God, unto whom the Lord said, Thy name shall be Abraham, a father of many nations. I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and kings shall come out of thee. Now Victoria's first name was Alexandria, and she was wisely and tenderly reared by her mother, and they told her not that she was next heir to the crown of England. But when she was near to years of discretion, they gave her a table of the genealogies of the English kings, and she saw that she was next in line to the king, her uncle, and he was well stricken in years and had no child. Then Victoria knelt down and vowed a vow to the Lord, the God of her fathers, that she would serve him and rule the people in the fear of him all the days of her life. See Mrs. Oliphant's History of the Queen. And when her uncle William the King was gathered unto his fathers, Victoria was crowned by the Archbishop in the temple at Westminster, and he gave her the English Bible, even as the high priest of old gave unto her fathers in the temple at Jerusalem the testimony, which is the law of Moses. And she was anointed with oil and was crowned queen, and the people of Anglo-Israel cried with a loud voice, God save the queen. And she sat upon the seat of the coronation chair of Scone, whereupon every queen and king of Anglo-Israel hath sat for 800 years. Now the chair is of black oak, wrought in the Gothic manner, and carved with signs and names of great men of old. And under the seat of it is a stone, which is 30 inches long, 18 inches wide, and 12 inches thick, and behold, it is the Leophale of Heremon and Circa, from the pillar of the temple at Jerusalem, whereby their kings were crowned, as the manner was, and beside which they made their covenant to rule in the fear of the Lord God of Israel. And Anglo-Israel rejoiced greatly at the coronation of the queen, and they called her no more Alexandria, they named her Victoria. And in her the nation hath been greatly blessed, so as never before, and in all the regions of the earth. Yet had she great sorrow, for Albert, the husband of her youth, was taken away in the midst of his days, and the queen and her sons and her daughters and her people mourned for him greatly. And for the love of him, the queen remained a widow all the days of her life. But the Lord blessed her and multiplied her exceedingly, for her sons and her daughters, unto the third and fourth generations, have sat upon her knees, and behold, these are 80 sons and daughters of Victoria, the queen of Anglo-Israel, and of them are kings and queens of many nations, even as God promised in his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He hath multiplied the people also exceedingly, and they dwell and have dominion in the tents of Shem, India and other Asiatic possessions. For their hand is in the neck of their enemies, and they spread abroad more and more over all lands and islands upon the face of the earth. The British Empire is thrice the size of Europe, with treble the population of all the Russias. It extends over 11 million square miles. It occupies the fifth part of the globe, It contains over one-fifth of the human race. That is, 350 million people. It embraces four continents and more than 10,000 islands, 500 promontories, and 2,000 rivers. It is estimated that the British Empire possesses one-third of the sheep upon the earth, one-quarter of the cattle, and one-twelfth of the horses. And the total shipping under the British flag is 10,452,000 tons. And behold, the sun never sets upon the dominions under the standards of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And seeing what marvellous things God had wrought in her day, and how he had magnified her and her people, Victoria, the Empress Queen, caused a proclamation to be sent forth to all lands, that she would keep the 60th year of her reign for a jubilee unto the Lord. And when the day set in memory of her coronation was fully come, behold, there were thousands and tens of thousands of people of Anglo-Israel, and of the states beyond the seas, and from all the whole world, who came to London, her chief city, to greet Victoria, and to witness the glorious pageants in honour of her. For there were 20 score vessels of war for her naval review, hundreds of furlongs of floating steel ships, besides the naval display of all the great foreign powers. And on the set day for the feast of the coronation, the Queen and all her house arose up early in the morning, and went up quietly to the house of the Lord, and partook of his holy feast in great humility and thankfulness. And later the processions formed, and there were 50 princes of the blood royal, riding upon horses, and there were princesses and noble ladies glittering with orders and jewels, riding in carriages. And there were soldiers with helmets and breastplates, and uniforms of scarlet and green and blue and gold, with flags and pennons of many colours, glowing and waving, with all the people shouting and cheering. And there was a pause for a short space. Then a chariot with 8 cream-coloured horses came onwards, bearing the Empress Queen. And the voice of the multitude was as the crash of a peal of thunder when they greeted Victoria, and the people sang together as with one voice, God save the Queen. And the procession moved on to the temple of St. Paul, and the archbishops came forth and blessed her in the name of the Lord. And the people waiting without in throngs and multitudes stood silent and uncovered, while the massed choirs of the London churches chanted, We praise thee, O God, we acknowledge thee to be the Lord. And the people remained silent, and with bared heads, even until the archbishop had given the final blessing. And the people that had come from other lands were astonished at their reverence and at their love for their queen. And Alexandra, the wife of the Queen's eldest son, gave a great feast on that day to the poor of London, and she fed bountifully tens upon tens of thousands, even to the number of 1,500,000 souls. And the people of the United States of Anglo-Israel beyond the seas rejoiced also in the glory of the Empress Queen, for are they not the lion's whelp? The gathering of the people of the United States in little over a century suggests a further winnowing of the lost tribes and a fulfilment of Jacob's prophecy regarding Judah. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And there was feasting and rejoicing in London for many days of Anglo-Israel and of the strangers within her gates. And one of those that stood by and saw all these things, the glory and the greetings and the tributes from all nations upon earth, said, Behold, O Empress Queen, all the triumphs of ancient Rome, all the pageants of all the earth, are as nothing to this thy jubilee. Whence is it that the Lord of all the earth hath thus blessed thee and magnified thee above all the kings and rulers that are upon the face of the earth? And the Empress Queen Victoria, the daughter of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, spake not one word, but for answer laid her hand upon the English Bible, the Word of God, which, with the English standards of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, hath gone forth into all the earth to accomplish the thing whereunto he sent it, till in the last days the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And behold, the Lear Fail, the stone wonderful of the seat of the coronation chair, which was the sole witness of the blessing of God unto Jacob, was as it were a testimony of the faithfulness of him who promised, "Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, as the stars of the heavens innumerable, as the sands upon the seashore, which no man may number." And behold now, this princess of the royal line of David hath been called to go the way of all the earth. And the peoples and the princes and the chief men and women of all known nations have united in tributes of love and sorrow, and her princely dust rests with that of the husband of her youth, in the hope of a joyful resurrection, when the God of her fathers shall give her the crown of life, reserved for them who are faithful unto death. Once more a king of the tribe of Judah hath received the crown and the testimony, having been anointed with the oil, as the manner was in the temple at Jerusalem. And Victoria's son sits upon the seat of the coronation chair, the pillar of Israel at Bethel, the Leophael of Heremon and Circa, the dominion stone of Fergus of Scotland and Edward of England, which keepeth its solemn vigil, while the cry goeth up from thousands and tens of thousands of Anglo-Israel of the islands and beyond the seas, "God save the King, Edward the Seventh." Thank you very much for listening, and watch out for more Albion narrations in the future.